The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the day came for them to be purified as laid down by the law of Moses, the couple took Jesus up to Jerusalem and presented him to God. For it is written in the law of our God, every firstborn heir is to be consecrated to God. They likewise came to offer in sacrifice a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accord with the dictate of the law of our God. Now there lived in Jerusalem a man named Simeon. He was devout and just, anticipating the consolation of Israel, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not see death until he had seen the Messiah of God. Prompted by the Spirit, Simeon went to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child to perform the customary rituals of the law, Simeon took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Now, O God, you can dismiss your servant in peace, just as you promised, because my eyes have seen the salvation you have prepared for all the peoples to see, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." As the child's mother and father stood there marveling at the things that were being said, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, the mother, "This child is destined to be the downfall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that is rejected, so that the secret thoughts of many may be laid bare. And a sword will pierce your heart as well." There was a woman named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, who was also a prophet. She had lived a long life, 7 years with her husband, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, worshiping day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up at that moment, she gave thanks to God and talked about the child to all who anticipated the deliverance of Jerusalem. When the couple had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of God, they returned to Galilee and their own town of Nazareth. The child grew in size and strength. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was with him. The good news of salvation.
Praise to you, Jesus.
Well, Holy Family, I wonder if any of our kids would like to come up and join me up here. All right. Tori, come on, James, Ben. Sylvia, if you want to come up too, you're welcome. Well, you guys always make me feel like family when you're here, right? And you also make me feel better about being up here just to have people that I love right next to me. So would you guys mind sitting on the stairs while I do the sermon today? And some of it's about you and kids and stuff, so I think that it's not just for the adults, it's for you too. You're not just sitting up here looking pretty. Yeah, although you do look really pretty. Oh. And handsome. You know what I mean. Moms do that. Moms call the boys pretty anyway, right? Okay, so make yourself comfortable. And of course I put my homily in here. Very Lance, so here we go. So in today's homily, Mary and Joseph bring baby Jesus to the temple. As they arrive, they meet an elder who longed to see the Messiah. He had been waiting for the Messiah all his life. He had heard that God was going to send a wonderful person to come and be with Israel and set the captives free and bring peace to the nation. So he was waiting and waiting and waiting. And when Mary and Joseph walked in with Simeon, Simeon looked at baby Jesus and said, "Now I can die in peace. I've seen the Savior that God promised me I would see before I died." And so the your God, you can let your servant go in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and a glory for your people. Imagine Simeon's response to the baby Jesus being said to every new child, that all of you, and like Gail's little Ozzy just born this month, that you're the one we've waited for. Tori Ann, Sylvia, James, Ben, you're the ones that your family, that us older ones, have waited for and hoped for and prayed for, and the whole future of our nation and our faith is happy because you are in it, and you will carry our faith and our love forward as you grow up. You will be like Jesus to the world, and you will be Jesus to the world because he's present in you. And that's just such a big thing for us to celebrate today. But let's not miss that prophet Anna. She was widowed after a very short marriage, and usually women at the time would get remarried, and so that they would have more children to take care of them in their old age, and that they would have a family. But Anna decided after her first husband died that she was going to go and live at the temple and form community with the other people there and praise God and serve people all the rest of her life. And so she also recognized that baby Jesus, when he came into the temple, was so special. And just like us, we recognize your specialness this very day. So, like Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Simeon and Anna represent together a holy family, a chosen holy family. We all have families we're born into, and we all have families. Some of us stay with our families we were born into, and some of us have other families, and our families expand and become new and blessed by each new member that joins or is born into our family, right? So, how does a holy family act? Well, I can't do any better than what Miss Linda read up here from the Colossians, that a holy family gives us a strong and clear answer that one is as God's lives as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. They clothe themselves, they get dressed up, and they want everyone to see their compassion, their kindness, their humility, their patience. Family members in God's family forgive each other, and above all, they clothe themselves with love, letting the peace of Christ rule in their hearts. And they're always thankful to God, to their other family members. These qualities make up what faithfulness looks like in Jesus' family, in the family Jesus chose. So, what does this all mean for us? It means that relationships in which we grow in compassion, justice, and humility, and the other qualities we put on as we journey with our brother Jesus, that's where our family is. We learn these virtues from people we admire and emulate, from Jesus, from the saints, and from those others in our lives who model for us, and they show us how to be as members of Jesus' holy family. That's what family means, at least for Jesus and his mother and all the members of Jesus' holy family. for us as members of Jesus' chosen holy family. I'd like for us to think for a moment about what we learned together in our study of the discussion of holy moments. And you guys know the grown-ups have been reading this little white book, maybe, that's called Holy Moments, and we have holy moments as stars back up there of times that we've experienced God by helping other people. So, looking for and nurturing holy moments in our lives is the things that are needed to do that are also needed to be a good member of Jesus' chosen holy family. They're pretty much the same things. So most of all the wisdom in that book can help us deepen our relationships in and with and between the relationships on the journey to be and become holy families at home. And one big intentional chosen holy family here at Church of the Beloved. So we've learned that holy moments require us to intentionally treat each other like the Messiah. There was a little story in that book that was so lovely about a group of people who got all grumpy and stopped treating each other kindly. And the leader of that group went to a friend of his, and the friend gave him some advice. And the advice was, treat everyone as if they were the Messiah. They were the most special person in the room. If everyone starts treating each other like the Messiah is in the room, things will turn around. People will feel loved, and then if they feel loved, they will be loving toward each other and to all the people that come and visit. And so, that's one of the things that was true about holy moments. That's also true about holy families. And we also learned that working toward deepening our relationship with God through holy moments isn't always easy. That sometimes we have to work at paying attention. I mean, you guys are doing a great job of paying attention to me tonight. I'm really proud of you. Sometimes it's really hard to listen in church, right? And you're all working at it, and you're doing a really good job of the work of listening. So listening, even listening. But then, above listening, doing things that sometimes are hard to do, like doing the dishes or listening when we'd rather watch TV and your mom wants you to take the trash out or something like that. You know, that's hard work. But it's also the work of God's holy family to do those things. So, I remember one Thanksgiving a long time ago. When my daughter, whose name is Amanda, was 6 or 7 years old, it was Thanksgiving. So we went to church, and we had a really lovely Thanksgiving Mass, and afterward, we were going to go to some friends for supper. And so we stopped at our house, I got the dish that I was going to bring, and we were a little late, and I was a little frazzled. And when you're late and frazzled as an adult, what does that do? Have you seen that happen to your moms? Or your parents, your family? Yeah, they kind of get crabby, right? So I'm like, crabby. Miss Crabby Pants here. And so I was like, Amanda, do this and do that. And she was all dressed up. And I remember her standing. And this was a long time ago. I remember it exactly. She was standing at the very back of the car in her dressed up clothes, and she had patent leather shoes on, and we were standing in the street on the side because we were parked on the side of the street, and she stomps her foot. She says, Mom, Jesus does not want you to treat me like that. Oh, man. Talk about holy families. That is just what I needed to hear. Because I was just at Mass, and I was trying to be a person that followed Jesus, and I let my hurriedness and my desire to like make an impression with other people be super crappy to my own family. And so when she said that, when I was growing up, I think I would have gotten in trouble for saying that to my parents. But it really hit me in my heart, and I was like, you know, Amanda, you're really right. Jesus doesn't want me to treat you like this, and he doesn't want me to feel like this or act like this either. I'm really sorry. Families are able to learn from each other, even their children, and say, I'm sorry. And so I said, Amanda, I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? And she did and gave me a big hug. And we went in and had a wonderful Thanksgiving with our chosen family together. And it was a great day for the rest of the day, but I'll never forget that. Jesus does not want you to treat me like this. So there. So we learn about holy families, and we give and receive. It's not just one person or the mom and the dad, but all the aunties and uncles and children. We all have something to teach each other about growing together as a holy family. So let's all strive to be holy family members ourselves, with the grace of God and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to guide us. Okay? Thank you. And thank you for being such good listeners. I appreciate that. Okay, you guys can go and sit back down or walk around the sanctuary and get some exercise in along the way. And perhaps the grown-ups will stand up and join me in our profession of faith.